The National Broadcasting Company presents Youth Wants to Know, a program dedicated to the principle that the future of America rests with the young people of our nation. And to help receive some of the questions in their minds, here is Stephen McCormick speaking for Theodore Granick, founder and producer of Youth Wants to Know. Mr. McCormick.
This week, the governors of many of our states are here in Washington for conferences with President Eisenhower and many other high officials of our government. At their conference, the governors have been discussing many problems, state and national, ranging from health to foreign policy. And today on Youth Wants to Know, it's our privilege to have as guest the governor of our largest state in the Union, Governor Alan Shivers of Texas. Governor Shivers, the young people who take part in our program here under the auspices of the National Public Relations Division of the American Legion, as you can well imagine, have a good many questions for you regarding Texas and other issues of our day. Shall we go ahead and find out what's on their minds?
Yes, let's do.
All right, fine. There's a question, young lady.
Governor Shivers, my name is Sydney Sharkey. Can you tell me the difference between a Republican and an Eisenhower Democrat?
Well, we generally consider Republicans in the South as people who have been Republicans all their lives. An Eisenhower Democrat is one who, I suppose, supported General Eisenhower for President of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Do we have another question? The young man has his hand raised.
Governor Shivers, my name is Phil Enowitz. You supported President Eisenhower in 1952. Have you since changed your mind, or will you continue to support President Eisenhower's policies in this year's elections?
Well, the conditions under which I supported General Eisenhower for President of the United States were those that I thought were best for the nation at that time, and I have not changed my views as they're being best at that time. As to what the conditions will be in 1956, I don't think you can tell or I can tell. I'll say this. Frankly, I hope that the Democratic Party can get a candidate that is strong enough and a platform that is strong enough to carry not only my convictions, but those of the nation.
Before 1956, Governor, what about this year? Do you feel that you wish to commit yourself as to how you feel on the elections here in 54?
Well, I'm going to be running myself in Texas in 54. And you know how I'd feel about that.
Let's find out what this young lady has for a question.
Governor Shivers, President Eisenhower does seem to have made some progress with the problem of segregation or integration. What do you think of the pending Supreme Court decision concerning an integrated school system in the District of Columbia and in several of the southern states?
Well, I don't know too much about it in the District of Columbia. It will make a very great impact in most of the states, of course, and we have committees in a good portion of our state, at least, studying a question now and trying to make preparations for anything that might happen in view of the decision and, of course, not knowing what the decision is going to be.
Mm-hmm. The young man has his hand raised.
Governor Shivers, my name is Alan Schein. Could you give us an idea of just what steps would be taken in Texas should the Supreme Court outlaw segregation in the schools?
We have in Texas, and have had for a long time, what has been called a separate but equal facilities. Our Constitution requires that, and in the past several years, I think the Negro schools have had more money spent on them, and the teachers are paid the same salaries. A great deal of progress has been made. The same educational facilities are being offered. Actually, there isn't any harm, and I think a lot of benefit, and the way the present system is being operated, particularly in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead with your question.
Governor Shivers, do you think that Senator McCarthy's popularity has declined as a result of the present hearings?
I've been so busy during the present hearings. As a matter of fact, I've only seen about 10 minutes of it on television. I saw that in San Antonio a few days ago. And I've been during the past week, I've been in Washington most of the time, attending the governor's conference and doing some other matters there for the state, and really haven't based any opinion on it. I think, however, there has been a slight loss in popularity, if you want to put it on that basis.
What do you think of the spectacle, a Republican secretary and a Republican senator brawling like this in public?
Oh, I wouldn't... I wouldn't call that brawling. I don't know of a period in history when men who hold public office, public position, haven't been arguing about their different views. Matter of fact, I think it's wholesome, and I don't subscribe to the idea that because they have differences and air them publicly, that it is a public brawl. The public's entitled to know, and the only way the public can know is to hear these things and form their own opinion. And you'll find this, that whenever the public is sufficiently informed, it generally comes up with the right answer.
If this controversy were to be in Texas, Governor, would you just label it a controversy?
Why, it might be merely a minor skirmish.
The young lady, go ahead, please.
Governor Shivers, do you believe that McCarthy's tactics in trying to rid and expose communism within the United States are helpful or harmful to the Republican Party as a whole?
I'm afraid I can't answer that because I don't try to keep up with what's helpful or harmful to the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. Do you wish to continue?
No.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move our microphone over here. The young lady has her hand up with a blue blouse. Go ahead, please.
Governor Shivers, do you think that Senator McCarthy should be recalled?
You mean in his home state?
Yes.
Well, I'm not a resident of that state. That's something for the voters of that state to pass on themselves. I wouldn't want to answer that.
And a question here in the front row. Let's move our microphone over here. Go ahead.
Governor Shivers, my name is Ronald Nuttall. I'd like to know, in your home state of Texas, who is a greater power, McCarthy or President Eisenhower?
Oh, Eisenhower, I think.
Now, the young lady who's been vigorously waving her arm.
Governor Shivers, my name is Julia Gander. I want to know, do you think McCarthyism will still be an issue in the coming election?
Well, I think in certain portions of the country, that definitely will be an issue. Any public issue that's been debated as much as that has will always be an issue in certain sections, some feeling strong one way and some the other, depending upon geography and other items.
The young lady with the orange blouse.
Governor Shivers, my name is Ann Lois. I wonder if you think that Senator McCarthy has designs at all upon the presidency, and if so, do you think there's any chance of his being elected?
Well, that gets back to 1956 again, and while I've known Senator McCarthy for several years, I don't believe we've ever discussed whether he has any designs on being president, and I don't know whether he has or not, and I'm just afraid I can't answer that.
You're going to leave it right there.
I'll say this, all these questions about McCarthy shows the news value that you have in TV and radio and the newspapers. This controversy is certainly before the public.
That's right. Our youngsters are much interested in it.
I want to congratulate them on their interest in it. The varied questions that I ask here, I think it's fine. Yep. And the public, that's the thing the public needs, more information.
Mm-hmm. There's a question from the back row there. Go ahead.
Governor Shivers, my name is Georgia Wolf. Do you think the McCarthy issue will be bigger than the Indochina issue in the new election?
Oh, no.
Indochina
is an issue that's worldwide. It represents the future of the world. Not as such, not as just a little country, but the things that are involved. Communist aggression. Geographically, not just human people as individuals.
The young man with the glasses.
My name is Rudolph Auction. Governor Shivers, the President Eisenhower has said that communism will not necessarily be a question in the next election. Do you think it will be?
I don't recall that he said that, and I certainly think it will be.
Do you wish to continue, Ronald? No.
No, thank you.
You don't? All right.
He could have said that. I don't mean to say that he didn't. I just don't know. I didn't see it. But it certainly will be an issue.
Young lady, go ahead, please.
Governor Shivers, my name is Miriam Summers. Getting back to McCarthy for a minute, are you associated in any way...
Get him away from me.
Well, the last question slightly, but have it your way. Are you associated in any way with a group of wealthy Texas oilmen who are financing the Facts Forum and like enterprises by McCarthy backers?
How's that again?
Well, there's a group of wealthy Texas oilmen who are financing programs like the Fact Forum. I want to know, are you in any way connected with them?
Well, They're not a group of wealthy oil men in Texas who are financing facts for them. As far as I know, it's financed by one individual. Largely, to the greatest extent anyway.
Well, who?
Miss H. L. Hunt of Dallas.
Well, it's pretty well accepted that the oil men do support McCarthy pretty strongly and that they're a rather conservative group. I want to know, do you think the people of Texas support McCarthy as the oil men do?
Well, let me debate your first question with you. I don't subscribe to that. That's what in Texas we call a wife-beating question. You know, you say, someone asks you a question, says, have you stopped beating your wife? Which indicates you've been beating her. If you say yes, it means you've been beating her, but you stopped. If you say no, it means you're still beating her. I don't think there are a group of oil men as such who are supporting McCarthy. I don't believe there are any more oil men supporting McCarthy than not supporting him on the average of other people.
Do you?
Do I what?
Support McCarthy.
I support him on when I think he's right, and I don't when I think he's wrong, just like I'm sure you do.
And before taking our next question, it's time to announce the winner of this week's 30-volume set of the Encyclopedia Americana, America's first and oldest encyclopedia. The winner is D.C. Dungan, 303 14th Avenue North, Seattle 2 in Washington. And the station named the Americana Station of the Week is KOMO in Seattle, Washington. For details of the contest, listen for the announcement at the end of the program. And now, let's hear that winning question, please.
Winning question. Is internal security primarily a job for the federal government, or should states and even cities organize investigating committees?
Am I supposed to come in on that?
If you would answer that, Governor. Did you hear it?
Yes, I think so. You said that is internal security a problem entirely for the federal government, or should cities and states
organize
investigating committees of their own? I don't think internal security is solely a matter for investigating committees. Internal security is something that 160 million people of the United States ought to be interested in. It's something that every level of government ought to be interested in. The national government, the state government, the county government, and the city government, and the schools. It's the interest of the FBI, it's the interest of our state police in Texas, it's the interest of the local police in Dallas and Houston and Fort Worth and so forth, San Antonio, and it's the interest of the sheriff in my small home town of Woodville, in the Piney Woods of East Texas. It ought to be the interest of everyone, committees or no committees, all of us.
The young lady has a hand raised. Or is it the young man? Go ahead.
Young man, sir. Governor Shivers? My name is Ed Gaines. Do you think the decision outlawing the Communist Party in Texas has proved to be a wise decision?
I think, of course, it's only been in effect a very short time. I signed the bill last week.
Well, don't you think outlawing the party will drive it underground and make it more difficult to keep under surveillance?
No, I certainly don't. I think they've been hiding everywhere they can anyway, principally behind the Fifth Amendment. And I want them to know if we catch one of them in Texas, we're going to put him in jail or penitentiary. And you have the Smith Act, for instance, in the federal government. And you try to prove that Congress has been doing something bad, you first not only have to prove that the Communist Party is bad, but then you have to prove that this man took part in it. And it's been weeks and months proving in every one of those cases that the Communist Party is bad. Well, I know it's bad. Don't you?
Well, is just being a member of the party against the law or practicing
yes.
the violent overthrow?
No, being a member of the Communist Party is against law in Texas.
Well, then what's going to stop people eventually from outlawing, let's say, the Democratic Party?
If the Democratic Party were advocating violent overthrow of the government and an absence of freedom and destruction of religion, I think they should. The Communist Party has been so well established as one that seeks to destroy all those things, not only to destroy the country, but to take away your personal liberties and mine and every other citizen of the United States, to destroy your religion, to destroy the form of government that you came up under. The Constitution of the United States provides for change in government, but it doesn't provide for termination. And take any country that the communists have taken over and see what has happened to them. And you don't have to look very far to know what they would do here. And yet we say that, well, don't do much to these people who are trying to do that. Let's let them go on about their dirty business and kind of pat them on the wrist every once in a while and call them red herrings or something like that, and maybe the situation will take care of itself. We've tried that for a long time, and it hasn't taken care of itself. We ought to do something about it. What would they do to us if we were trying to do something about their government over there? They'd shoot you before sunrise. They've done it to too many people already. And they'd do it to every one of us they could catch. And yet we say, well, don't do anything to them. Well, listen, I'm for catching them anywhere, anyhow I can, and doing everything I can to them. I'll tell you that.
You feel you will be able to catch some in Texas? Maybe that, I shouldn't have asked you that, Governor.
We tried a young boy, he's older than any of these here, not very long ago. The federal court in El Paso. A fine-looking young man, he might have looked like the quarterback on last year's football team. He might have looked like your next-door neighbor. I have never seen a finer-looking young man. And his wife, a very charming and attractive young lady. And yet those two had plotted murders, destruction of property, and everything else that goes with sabotage in peacetime. And I want an American jury. If they're members of the Communist Party, I want an American jury to pass on the punishment that ought to be given to them, and I want it to be against the law. They know what they're doing. Don't let them tell you they don't.
There's a question, the young lady with a pencil. Go ahead.
Religion, let me say this. One of them. This is a...
Continue, Governor.
I feel this matter very deeply. You can't destroy the faith upon which religion is built, because America and the United States principally was built upon that faith. And with a religious substructure under it, faith, the Communist Party would destroy that. And you take away a man's religion, and what do you have? You've destroyed his family. You've destroyed everything he believes in. And that's what the Communist Party will do to you. Don't ever let any person tell any of you or any of your friends that it's smart to belong to some affiliated organization. I know you won't, but that's the way they bore in.
Go ahead with your question, please.
Governor Shivers, my name is Happy O'Connor, and I would like to know, are you going to punish only card-carrying communists or people who ascribe to similar beliefs?
Our law provides for outlawing the Communist Party and prescribes penalties for membership in that and affiliated organizations.
Well, how are you going to tell just how similar, how affiliated it is? How are you going to distinguish between, for instance, a communist and a socialist or a liberal or someone who goes by a different name? Supposing they call themselves the Cactus Party or the Peace Party or something, are they outlawed then?
Then it becomes a matter of proof in court before a judge and jury that our American system provides for.
Well, just what criteria are you going to use?
Same proof that you use in courts now, sufficient evidence.
Well, to prove that they are subversive, how are you going to do it? How are you going to go about catching them?
Well, you catch them by law enforcement officers as you catch a murderer now, for instance. And you prove it in court by evidence as you go into court to prove any criminal act today. And you have rules of procedure that you must follow. They're all well established. This isn't anything new except just outlawing another crime that I think's a crime.
A question, Governor, in the front row.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Shivers, my name is Ronald Nuttall. And speaking of the, to bring up a new subject, the governors recently had a conference this last week. What is the value of these governor conferences in Washington?
I think one of the finest sayings as far as the states are concerned that President Eisenhower has done. He's the first president, certainly within my memory, that has invited the state governors to come to Washington for conferences that are prepared by the cabinet and other high officials of the federal government to explain their problems, most of them classified information conferences, but defense matters, economic matters, health, education, welfare, atomic matters, everything else that the federal government is dealing with principally that the states definitely have an interest in. I know myself, last year and this year, speaking purely personally, I have received great benefit from attending those conferences, and that's the feeling of most of the other governors, I think.
Ronald?
Could you tell us if the, just your opinion, if the French pull out of Indochina, according to what you've heard in these governors' conference, what would the United States do?
I can't comment on that. The information that was given to us on that is classified information.
The young lady has a question.
Governor Shivers, my name is Mary Jean Creek. On basis of your own knowledge and information recently given to you by Dr. Howdy, do you believe that this country is in a recession?
Dr. Hoggy is, Gabriel Hoggy is a president's economic advisor. He's one of the principal assistants to the president in economics. And I think he's one of the most brilliant economic strategists, if you want to call him that, the country has ever seen. I do not think from listening to him that we're in a recession. As a matter of fact, we're probably on the upgrade.
Go ahead.
Well, has there been any signs in your own state of Texas of recession?
No, there has been a decrease in farm prices, particularly in cattle. That was principally last summer and last fall. Early this spring, now there, if anything, is a little increase, at least a leveling off.
Yes.
Do you think that the drought which affected you all so seriously last year is going to again affect your state this year? Do you believe that the conditions caused for last year's drought, I'll put it that
God
way.
God forbid, but I'm afraid it is.
Mm-hmm. You really have a difficult time down
yes,
there.
Yes, we've been in it for 4 years now in most of our state, and it looks like we're going into it for a fifth year, although during the past 2 weeks we have had some very, very valuable rain.
There's a hand raised here, Governor.
Governor Shivers, my name is Jim Holmes. Are the reports true that you're trying to get into the regular Democratic organization again over the objections of Sam Rayburn and Lyndon Johnson?
I have always been in the regular Democratic organization, and a member of it, stalwart Democrat.
Were you in it in the last campaign when you supported Eisenhower and campaign?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was supporting principles that I cut my eye teeth on in the Democratic Party. I felt that I was a better Democrat than most of those who were opposed to me.
The Democrats in the convention didn't think that
no,
way, did they?
No, they didn't. No, they naturally didn't agree with it.
Jim, do you have something else?
No, that's okay.
Texas is an overwhelming Democratic state. And I'm running for office again on a Democratic ticket, and always will be a Democrat.
There's a young man in the front row, Governor, with a truly yes. Texan tie.
Governor Shivers, I was wondering what, if anything, has been done so far with the oil money received from the Tidelands?
You probably know that the money in Texas from all its public lands, of which Tidelands is only a part, goes into a permanent school fund. That permanent fund, the nearest example to it is a trust fund that banks create, that your family may create, or someone else, for the benefit of some person. Our Constitution sets up this permanent school fund out of which the lease money and the royalty money from the oil lands go. And then the revenue from the investment of that permanent fund goes into what we call an available fund. It all goes into schools. And there has been received, in spite of the fact that former Vice President Barkley and quite a number of others came to Texas and said, oh, these things are not worth anything. We received over $35 million in the first lease of about a fifth of them for the benefit of the schools. And all is protected in a trust fund.
The young man with the brown coat has his hand
raised. Sir, my name's Tex McDaniel. What part of the royalties, what percentage goes to the schools in Texas?
The usual percentage on leases, whether they are government leases or private leases, is a 1/8. That's the usual royalty. Now, if there is oil production fairly close sometimes in leasing it, you're able to get an additional royalty. Sometimes your bonus, what's called a bonus, that's cash money that's paid in addition to the prospective royalty, is large. Sometimes it's small. Your royalty may go up and down the scale from 1/8 on up, sometimes very often 1/5 or 1/6, for instance, if oil production is nearby and it's more valuable. Or your bonus money may go up to several figures. University of Texas leased some of its public lands a short time ago, a small amount of acreage for over $3 million in cash plus some royalty. Very fine lease.
Do you have a brief question?
Governor Shivers, my name is Lorraine Cantner, and I would like to know if any provisions are being made for protecting the wealth of the Tidelands oil wells from exploitation by business.
Yes, ma'am. There has never been any exploitation of them. They are ruled and regulated by law. They are leased by a board of three, the governor, the land commissioner, and the attorney general, and there has never been the slightest criticism or scandal about the leasing and handling of it. It's all in a trust fund.
We have just a few seconds left. What is your question?
Governor Shivers, my name is Judy Weinberg. Throughout America's history, the very wealthy men have always been highly educated people, and the American people have benefited very greatly from their contributions. Recently, it seems that the great wealth of the country seems to be centered in the hands of...
I'm sorry, I must interrupt you. Our time is up. Perhaps the next time the governor comes to visit with us, you can ask him your question. We certainly do thank you, Governor Alan Shivers of Texas, for coming here today and helping to provide the answers that youth wants to know. It's been a pleasure. I hope you come back and see us again soon.
A great pleasure to be with you.
Next week, Youth Wants to Know will present another newsworthy guest of national prominence for you. And now this is Stephen McCormick speaking for Theodore Granick and bidding you goodbye.